This is Stephen Strang. I'm sure you've listened to Dennis Prager. In fact, if you know anything about PragerU, it's been viewed over a billion times last year. He is making such an impact, and it was such a privilege to meet him recently and to actually be on his radio show. So stay tuned to hear more from Dennis Prager.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. What a privilege it was to be on Dennis Prager's daily program. I flew out to California. He's in the Los Angeles area. On Tuesdays, he has several hours, of course, every day, but on Tuesday, he takes 1 hour and he calls it the Ultimate Issues Hour. And I had the privilege of being on there with him. We talked about this whole question about how people who are critical of Christians and religious people are very critical of Trump supporters, saying that he is an imperfect man. And Dennis wanted to talk about it. And I was glad to talk about it in connection with the books I've written on Donald Trump. I also had an opportunity to interview Dennis off air, but I asked him, would it be all right if I shared with my podcast listeners my interview with him? So they said yes. We edited it down by taking out the commercials and the different things that don't apply. And what follows on the Strang Report today is the Dennis Prager program. I think you'll enjoy it. It was a real honor to be with him, and I so appreciate his willingness to let us use it. And the end of the podcast, instead of coming back and thanking you for listening, it will just end when it's over. So I'll thank you now for listening, and here is the very interesting interview that I had with Dennis Prager.
So today I have a guest. I very rarely have guests on the Ultimate Issues Hour, but sometimes I do, and if I do, it's because I think the person has important things to say. In this case, Stephen Strang is a Christian and a journalist. Are you a Christian journalist or a Christian who is a journalist?
Both.
There you go. Both. Am I looking at something? Ah, yes. Yes, I know that. CEO of Charisma Media. What's Charisma Media?
Well, we're principally a publishing house. We're best known for Charisma Magazine, but we publish books. We're on the internet. We have the Charisma Podcast Network. We serve the evangelical Christian community and more specifically Pentecostals and Charismatics.
Where are you located?
We're in Orlando, Florida. I'm a newspaper reporter who started it with zero. And by God's grace, it's, you know, built up to where we're one of the, how should I say it, players, I guess, in the Christian publishing industry.
So the topic I want to discuss with you, and let me just tell everybody that you have two books out. Is that right?
That's right.
God and Donald Trump, and what is the other one?
The other one's called Trump Aftershock.
Trump Aftershock. The President's Seismic Impact on Culture and Faith in America. And they are both published by Frontline, which I presume is affiliated with Charisma.
That's right.
God and Donald Trump. So that's basically what I want to talk to you about. It's got a foreword, by the way, by Mike Huckabee. And one has from Jerry Falwell Jr. I remember Jerry Falwell Jr.'s dad.
I do, too.
And I actually interviewed him in my late 20s. And it was a very wonderful evening. I thought well of the man. Anyway, I want to talk to you about the charge made against Christians, and it would be made against Jews, but there are so many more Christians that they don't bother with the Jews. But Orthodox Jews, like evangelical Christians, overwhelmingly support President Trump. But you're the ones who get the flack, and I spent a good part of my life defending you. Which, being a Jew, gives me more credibility, unfortunately, because when people defend their own, as it were, well, of course, he's a Christian. But if a Jew defends Christians or a Christian defends Jews, it's different. But I hear this all the time, and people who call themselves Christians are writing this. Yo, you guys are giving such a black eye to religion and to Christianity specifically for supporting such a sinful man. And the argument to me is staggeringly immature, but you deal with it all the time. You deal with it in your book. So here you're in friendly territory.
Thank you. I know that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Listen, my wife and I are contributors to PragerU. I want you to know.
I did not know that. I'm very touched. I really am. Thank you. So when you're on with MSNBC, what's their first charge against you?
Well, first of all, MSNBC could care less about me or my book, but they care about bashing Donald Trump. So, you know, they always say that Donald Trump has gotten away with everything, but this latest charge is the one that'll bring him down. So a little over a year ago, it was Stormy Daniels. Remember that? And they decided that finally, evangelical Christians, which I call to be church-going, Bible-reading Christians who try to live their Christianity the best they can, as opposed to just being cultural Christians, you know, because their parents were, that finally they'll turn their back on them. So the PR company had been pitching me. I was on CNN twice and MSNBC once in a single week, only about Stormy Daniels. And they wanted to know, the first question Allison Camerato asked me was, how could conservative Christians support a man who's so evil? And I said, well, first of all, I don't approve of the things that they accuse him of, but it's between him and God. And in a minute, I'll tell you something about Stormy Daniels. And I said, I think that he's changed. And she says, well, how's he changed? And so here I am on national television, live television, saying, I think he's accepted Christ. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I just said that. And so I quickly recovered and said, well, I don't know that firsthand, but I've been told that. And, you know, for the last 10 years or so, he has been different. I mean, they accuse him of everything in the world, but they don't accuse him of doing anything now in the Oval Office, unlike some previous presidents that we had, where the press and the secular culture kind of looked the other way. And I was able to talk to her about forgiveness. I said, every Christian who's accepted Christ has been forgiven. We understand what it's to be forgiven. Every Christian has done at least one thing they would not want on the front page of the newspaper. So we can overlook that, and it's about his policies. And then I went on to talk about his support of Israel, which is very, very important to Christians, appointing the Supreme Court justices. And you know everything that I said. And she kept coming back and said, well, doesn't your Bible say you have to ask for forgiveness? Because you remember he was asked in a debate, had he ever asked for forgiveness? You know, he's not a theologian. It was kind of a gotcha question. And I said, well, I'm glad you're quoting the Bible.
It's funny.
And, you know, we went on like that. But that's what they want to know is, how can you support somebody so bad? Well, you know what? Let's look at the other presidents. We all supported and nobody even brought up. Did they sleep with anyone? Were they having affairs? Were they crooked in some way? In fact, one of my preacher friends said that Trump, all by himself, has made the media more concerned about marital fidelity than anything else. Because other than Trump, they could care less. But because Trump, you know, has two failed marriages and has been accused of everything in the world. So it's a double standard. It's hypocrisy. And these are people who don't like Christians. They don't like our ethos. They don't like our conservative values. You know, we believe that a lot of the stuff they enjoy doing is wrong. And things we don't even talk about. I personally am against gambling, yet Donald Trump, you know, made a lot of his money on gambling. Initially, I had to kind of get over that too. And initially, I didn't really like Donald Trump because of, you know, the persona that we saw with The Apprentice and all that. And for me, it was some Christian leaders looking in the Old Testament at King Cyrus, you know, who is a pagan Persian king who God used in Isaiah chapter 45. It very clearly says, I have called you even though you do not know me. And God used Cyrus for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, as you well know. And I thought to myself, if God can use a pagan Persian king for his will and purpose, I can get over whatever Donald Trump has done. And of course, in our binary political system, you have to pick one or the other. And in the case, it was Hillary Clinton, who, in my opinion, is the most corrupt politician ever to run for president. And I had somebody attack me on Facebook. I don't look at Facebook very often, and I certainly don't reply. But this lady was telling me all the stuff that Donald Trump did wrong. And I said, you're absolutely right. But I said, you know, in the New Testament, there's a story about the speck and the log. I said, you know, that's a speck in his eye, and Hillary Clinton has a whole forest of logs with all the stuff she's done.
How can a religious person, Jew or Christian, but specifically now Christians because they're so much more numerous and therefore more politically and electorally powerful, how could a religious Christian support such a sinful man as President Trump? I have dealt with this issue so many times on this program and in writing. And a Christian who has dealt with it a great deal is the head of Charisma Magazine and Charisma Media and the author of God and Donald Trump and Trump Aftershock. And he is Stephen Strang, CEO of Charisma Media. Oh, Trump Aftershock is the newer one. That's the
right.
One?
It's on his first 2 years. All the aftershocks that took place after the earthquake of his election.
That's right.
But I've published somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 books. I've had a lot of ideas for books. We would always recruit someone. This time I recruited myself because I knew there was an untold story, a spiritual aspect that just about everybody leaves. And, you know, I documented in God and Donald Trump that there were numerous Christian prophets. You have to believe in the New Testament concept of prophecy that God still speaks today, who said as far back as 2006, 2007, that Donald Trump would be elected. And not only that, they said he'd be elected twice. And I knew when I put it in the book, a lot of people, a lot of Christians don't agree with this stuff. You know, there's a lot of abuse where sometimes people who say they're prophets will prophesy, you know, whatever comes to their mind, and it's not necessarily from God. But these prophecies did come true, and we played them up because a lot of times there are prophecies that happen and nobody knows about them. In fact, my friend Mark Joseph was telling me about a prophecy that was given to Ronald Reagan when he was governor of California, that he would be president. And you know, I guess this is documented in some kind of movie, but it's not widely known. But these prophets said that Donald Trump would be elected, and because of that, I flew up for the election night party. I was a little nervous with the way that, you know, everything was going, but I thought if God has spoken, I want to be there. And I also knew that if God had not spoken, I'd say, well, we missed that one. But I did fly up. It was a tremendous experience. And as the book started coming out about Trump, nobody talked about this. They didn't even really talk about the evangelical vote. You know, the evangelical vote was 82% for Trump. Because they could see that, imperfect as he is, he supports our values, the things that are important. He's defended religious liberty, persecuted Christians.
Well, forgive me. I just want to say that it's such a phony accusation against Christians because they would act identically. I ask people on the left a very simple question. You have two candidates, okay? You have a Democrat who has led a life that you would consider to be quite sinful, whatever word you want to use if you're secular, but he is pro-choice and Democrat, versus a Republican who is pro-life and who has led a completely faithful, honest business life in his life. You know that. Everyone knows that. Who would you vote for? And of course they would vote for the sinful guy who is pro-choice. So it's a phony argument. It's a lie. They lie with the ease, as I always say, that you breathe. It's a phony argument. Aside from, it's not a rational argument. I'm voting for president, not pastor. Why is that so complex? The man affects 7 billion human beings, the president of the United States. And I am going to be preoccupied with his love life? Or his sex life? It's sickening. But they don't do it themselves. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, I agree with you entirely. And Jimmy Carter, who is a Sunday school teacher.
That's right.
Turned out to not be such a good president. And of course, he's become very left-wing in his older years.
Yes.
I was a Democrat for half my adult life.
Me too. That's our sin.
Our sin.
That we will have to answer for.
But back when I registered as a Democrat, civil rights and the Vietnam War were the two big issues. It was before Roe v. Wade, and it was, of course, before I'd never heard the expression or the concept of same-sex marriage growing up. So the issues were a lot different. And I finally switched over because of pro-life. I thought, I can't think of one Democrat in the country I'd even vote for. And so I don't like the Republican Party either. But in our country, there's a binary system. It's one or the other, and it'll be like that in our lifetime for sure. So I think that Donald Trump has done a wonderful job. He's a leader. He's a real leader. A lot of these people are just kind of bureaucrats who owe their souls to whoever helped put him in office. He doesn't know anybody, and he's genuine. Even all the stuff we don't like his tweets and stuff, that's him. He is the same guy all the time.
Right.
No matter where he has his rallies in America, he wears his red tie and his blue suit. He doesn't wear overalls in Iowa and shorts when he's in California or whatever politicians sometimes do to try to ingratiate
himself. Or change his accent.
Oh, isn't that funny? Hillary went to some black churches and was trying to imitate a black preacher.
That's correct. Barack Obama changed the way he spoke depending on the audience. The actual inflection, I don't mean the content, I mean the inflection of his words.
And I don't consider that a real character flaw, but
no,
contrast
it isn't,
that.
But it's real. You're right. It's not. I agree with you, but that's not the point you were making. You were making the point the man is real.
He's real.
And I like that.
You get what you see.
That's correct. And let's go to Richard in Darien, Illinois. Richard, you're on with Dennis Prager and Stephen Strang. Hi.
Thank you. I was going to say that God institutes our leaders, so whoever is elected, God knows what he's doing. But I would have to say that evangelicals who choose, like myself, who choose the conservative aspect of politics, you're looking at, am I going to support, you know, an evil, or am I going to support true evil? You know, it is a secular choice. It's not a Christian choice. So I basically vote conservative because I do believe that I also have to answer for my choices someday, at least be shown those choices. I mean, the blood of Christ, of course, would protect me from the ultimate demise of my soul. But I would have to say that Trump is a man that does what he does. The Democratic Party threatens our very freedoms, our very abilities to make choices. And that, to me, is the choice that I make.
Yes, seems pretty logical to me. By the way, I want to ask you theologically, that's a Lutheran notion and might even be a New Testament. Does God really make all of our leaders? Back in a moment with Stephen Strang. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Ultimate Issues Hour, the issue of religious people supporting Donald Trump. I find the whole issue to me is fraudulent because it's exactly what everybody would do on the other side. They would all support someone who agreed with them who was, quote-unquote, a sinner. And all of a sudden, I find it hilarious that the left is preoccupied with the sexual fidelity of leaders. I mean, I don't understand how they fall asleep easily and their conscience isn't laughing at them. After John Kennedy, and I'm going to talk about this at some length this week or next week, the article in the Wall Street Journal about what's come out about Martin Luther King. And will people start wondering, gee, how can you support a Martin Luther King Day, given what we now know, which is way, way beyond what we know about Donald Trump, by the way. People sin, my friends. Grow up. But if, as soon as you grow up, you won't be a leftist. So it's extremely dangerous advice. And I mean that. There is a deep immaturity to leftism. Point that I make and substantiate constantly. My guest is Stephen Strang, author of two books about Trump and religion. He's an evangelical Christian, and the issue that we're talking about is exactly that, evangelical support for the president. The latest is Trump Aftershock, the president's seismic impact on culture and faith in America. That is certainly true. He also wrote God and Donald Trump before that. Just tell me, I know you're not a theologian as such, but tell me, as an individual, very serious evangelical, one day I'll write an essay on this because my listeners know how I'm not only a defender of Christians and Christianity in America, but many people went back to church because of me. And I'm very proud of that, even though I am personally a committed Jew. Look, if Christianity dies in America, America dies. Okay, it's just a fact. An atheist could know that. But every so often there is obviously some statement, forgetting theology, but even just a value statement. I don't quite understand the notion that the last caller offered, which many Christians will say to me, I know your sources, but I want to know if you take it literally. Every leader that exists in a society, God has appointed. Is that your position?
Yes, because the Bible says that. And, you know, there are places in the Bible, Orthodox Jews believe that everything that happens in the world, God allowed.
And allowed is different from, no. Allowed, of course. By definition, God allowed it. God allowed the Holocaust, but I don't know if God engineered the Holocaust. So does God engineer the leaders?
You know, to me, I accept it as a mystery you can't understand. But yes, he allowed Obama.
It's allowed. I know he allowed. I mean, the question, I'm not trapping you at all. This is total honest curiosity. I won't even argue. I only want to understand it. Do you, as an evangelical, you personally, is not my question, that God appoints whoever leads? I know he allows. That's, as I said, definitional.
Well, there's a whole branch of Christianity called Calvinists that believe in predestination, that God has already predestinated everything. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe in free will. But I believe it's both and.
Okay.
And that's how I accept it. It's both and. And there are things that we will never understand.
But that doesn't excuse us from voting.
No, not at all.
That's the next thing I want to talk to you about. There are a lot of Christians who still don't vote.
You're right. A lot who aren't even registered.
Yes, yes. We'll talk about that. Trump Aftershock, Stephen Strang, and Charisma Magazine. Tell people how they can get Charisma when we come back. I want them to know about that. Hi, everyone. Ultimate Issues Hour, about religious support for a sinner. That's shorthand for what we're talking about. With a major evangelical force, he himself, Stephen Strang, is a force. CEO of Charisma Media, you may know him from Charisma Magazine or his very popular books. The latest is Trump Aftershock, The President's Seismic Impact on Culture and Faith in America. He also wrote God and Donald Trump. And he's in the studio. He lives in Orlando. And so tell me about Christians who say, look, God appoints the leaders anyway. Why should I vote? What's your answer to them?
Well, there are a lot of things that the Bible tells us we need to do that are responsible. And that's one of the ones that are responsible. I think that there are some things we do just because it's the right thing to do. But before I go on, I don't want to run out of time before I brag on your book on Exodus, which my wife just finished. And she told me to tell you how much she loves PragerU. And I do too. So she got me to read it. I was reading it on this trip. I'm just fascinated with it. Of course, I'm fascinated with the Bible. But to see it through the eyes of a Jew and to understand things about like the numbers, I particularly paid attention to the numbers, the number seven. Mm-hmm. I know, of course, about the feast, you know, Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, and so forth. Feast of Weeks. Mm-hmm. It's seven. I didn't realize that they had added a day. I'd wondered why it was eight. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about the number 40. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, even Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days.
That's right.
And, you know, there's some interesting numbers about Donald Trump that I just uncovered. I'm going to write about them in the future. And I don't really know what they mean, but first of all, Trump, when he was born on June 14th, 1946, was a solar eclipse. We call it a blood moon. Why? I don't know. It's just interesting. 700 days later was May 14th, 1948, the day that Israel was born. 700 days. Hmm. When Trump became president on January 20th, 2017, he was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days. And 2 years into his term, which was January 20th this year, there was another blood moon. And you probably know John Hagee and a number of other people wrote about blood moons that had to do with some of the Jewish feasts, you know, over the last few years. What do these mean? Well, I don't know, but I think they're interesting. And, you know, we're trying to understand as mortals, can we understand God at all? And so we look for little things that we can relate to. And I have a theory that one of the reasons that evangelical Christians are so supportive of Israel is because Israel is a miracle. It validates our belief in the Bible, because the Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? And Israel was born in a day. When you look at the Six-Day War, how in the world could little Israel win a war in 6 days? You know, I mean, there were miracles of biblical proportions. And I think that is why there's this feeling of yes. In fact, I think that every Christian needs to visit Israel, and I think that they will experience what I've experienced on the 8 or 9 times I've been over there. I feel like we're going home because Christianity grows out of Judaism.
Exactly.
You can't understand Christianity.
Right.
Jesus was a Jewish his entire time on earth. All the early Christians were Jewish up until, what, Constantine? Mm-hmm. A couple years later. Mm. And we tend to... A couple hundred years later, yeah, until it became the official religion of the Roman Empire. And there's this strong, strong bond. Listen, in the church I go to, we sing Israeli-style songs, and we sing about Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and all these, you know, Hebrew words that a lot of people don't even know. We talk about Jehovah Rapha, God my healer, and all this is important to our Christianity. Mm. So anyway, that's my opinion.
It's a beautiful one. And by the way, let me just remind my listeners that I will be going again to Israel with you, my listeners, this December, and if you want information, there's a banner at dennisprager.com. Thus far, people who've gone have found it transformative.
For what it's worth, my very first trip to Israel, 1979, I made a pilgrimage to Mount Sinai. They call it Jebel Musa. I'm sure right. you know where it is.
Yep.
It was under Israel control at the time.
Yeah, right.
We slept in sleeping bags because it's pretty dry. We didn't even need tents. I found a mortar rocket, an exploded mortar very close to where I slept one night. This was, you know, not long after the Yom Kippur War.
That's right.
And it was very, very moving to go to the top of Jebel Musa and read. Well, I read in preparation the first five books of the Bible and sat up on the top of the mountain and, you know, read the passage in Exodus about the, you know, the Ten Commandments and so forth, and just reflected on, you know, I was in my 20s at the time. It changed me forever. I've always wanted to go back, and I've always been told it was much too dangerous, so I'll never go back. But that was my very, very first introduction. We went to Israel, of course, and then went down to a lot.
But when you were there, it wasn't dangerous.
No, it wasn't.
Although it's not dangerous today.
The Sinai, you mean?
Oh, I thought you meant Israel.
No, the Sinai.
Oh, yeah, no.
The Sinai is under Egyptian.
I would not go to the Sinai today. Yes, that's correct. But no, I agree with you. Oh, I'm glad I clarified. You were just referring to Sinai.
I was talking about Sinai.
I was in Sinai at that time, too, and I agree with you. That is exactly right.
You know, I found out that there are several mountains that people call Sinai.
Yes, including in Saudi Arabia, the current belief.
But I knew if it wasn't that mountain, at least it was close.
Yeah, right.
And also, anyway, you say how it was a miracle that all those
Jews... exactly. Back in a moment. There are so many great calls here. Pittsburgh, California, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Texas, Colorado. And so little time. My guest is fascinating. Charisma Magazine, Charisma Media, and his new book, Trump Aftershock. He's an evangelical Christian. So in a nutshell, because it was so easy to get sidetracked, is it true, to the best of your knowledge, that there still is this body of evangelicals that don't vote?
I believe so. I believe they're just people that they're living quiet lives, and they don't want to get involved. They feel kind of marginalized. It's kind of like, why bother? They think their eternal home is in heaven, so, you know, just kind of hold out until then. And they don't really realize how serious it is. I mean, what we saw in the debates last week was almost communism. I almost hate to say that.
It was. Of course it was.
You know, there's liberalism, progressivism, socialism, then communism. Somebody said that socialist is a communist without a gun. And they're trying to take over without guns. And if they can get voted in, they will take over everything. They will regulate every part of our life. They'll take away our freedoms. And how will we ever get it back? There'll be a tipping point. You know, it's like leaning back in a chair. You can lean back in the chair on two legs and be balanced, but after a while, you get to a point, you get beyond the tipping point, and you fall over. You can't recover. And that's what's going to happen with our culture. And I believe, and a lot of Christians believe, that Trump, as imperfect as he is, he's not the solution, but he's given us a reprieve.
Certainly has. That's correct. So this is where we're at in America today. And I want you to know I admire the evangelical community for its stances, its strength, its willingness to be hated by the secular world. And that's really what you get. I get it too. So I share in your values. And that's why they're called Judeo-Christian values. There's obviously different theologies, but there's different theologies among Christians. Protestants,
a lot.
And Catholics, exactly.
Hundreds of denominations.
So that's why the issue has to be values. And that's what I need everybody to
understand.
But, you know,
there's always been a...
Tell me that next time, because I want to promote your book.
Okay.
Trump Aftershock and God and Donald Trump. You are a pleasure, sir. Stephen Strang of Charisma Media. I'm Dennis Prager. This has been the Ultimate Issues Hour.
The Dennis Prager Show.
This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books, and 2 years of charisma for only $39. And all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.